Amen. Blessings to you all on this beautiful, it's kind of dry outside, but it's beautiful in here Sunday morning as we kick off 2023. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. That's where we will spend the vast majority of our time. Just a very, very quick reminder about who we are and what we are all about. Our vision here at Church in the Falls is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. Very simple, very intentional, and very to the point. And the ways in which we go about that are four E's. We embrace God, we encourage each other, and we equip one another to be sent out to go and engage the world. Very simple, very direct. But if we put these things into practice, extremely powerful, if we will allow God to use us and to shape us within that direction. So, one specific way we are going to be chasing after Jesus, one way that we are going to know the Lord Jesus and to make Him known, is by intentionally focusing in and on the story of Jesus, specifically the Gospel of Luke. For the first 14 weeks of 2023, 14, I know, take that in, take a deep breath, 14, it's okay. The first 14 weeks leading all the way up into Easter, we are going to be just diving into the Gospel of Luke. Now, this is going to be the first time for me to actually do a heavy study through Luke. I know Mark inside and out. I've spent a lot of time in the Gospel of Mark because it's the shortest and kind of one of the most easiest ones to get through. John is the longest of all the Gospels. I've spent a little bit of time in John and Matthew, but not Luke. But all the studies that I've done, all the classes that I've been a part of, Luke is a Gospel that really truly gets your attention and steps on your toes. And I didn't choose Luke so that Luke could step on our toes as we begin 2023, but there is something about diving in and paying attention to a direction in which a specific gospel writer goes that is extremely important and extremely powerful. So we are going to intentionally slow down as 2023 gets started, and we are going to dive heavy into what Dr. Luke, we'll talk about Dr. Luke next week, but what Dr. Luke has to say to us about the story of Jesus. So, with all the four different Gospels, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with guidance and inspiration from the Holy Spirit, each of these Gospel writers uniquely tells the meta-narrative of the story of Jesus in ways that are similar to one another. If you didn't know this, and some of this just maybe just like rehearsal for a lot of you, but the three Gospels that are similar in nature are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are known as the synoptics. John is kind of the black sheep of the gospel writers. He's the outside one, if you will. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic gospels because they are so similar in their storytelling of Jesus. But at the same time, each one of them uniquely tells the story of Jesus in a way that specifically communicated to the house church that these Gospels were originally written for and to. And it's important for us to pause and think about that for a moment, because when you dive into a Gospel, you are going to notice some things that may be a little different that you assume about the Gospels. Just one very clear example. In Matthew, one of the most kind of famous teachings within the Gospel of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount. In the Gospel of Matthew, you don't get a Sermon on the Mount. You get a sermon on a plane. You're like, wait a second. Jesus was on a mountain in Matthew. Why is he on a plane in Luke? And those types of questions naturally come up. Mark, for example, doesn't begin the story of Jesus with any birth narrative. Mark begins his gospel with John the Baptist going 100 billion miles an hour to get into the story of Jesus. And as we spent the last 5 or so weeks looking at the birth narrative of Jesus, both Matthew and Luke go out of their way intentionally to spend a lot of time breaking down how Jesus came about. And those types of differences, those types of unique ways in which the gospel writers tell the story are important for us to get. They're important for us to understand. They're important for us to wrestle with, especially in a climate and in a culture where for decades the Bible has been under a microscope, just being attacked left and right. And if we're not somewhat equipped to know the whys behind the differences within the Gospels, when we get into conversations with other people, we feel inadequate. We feel unable to explain. Our faith doesn't seem to be as strong because we cannot tell why this is different from this, or why this is told in a different way than some other gospel is told. And we feel inadequate. So it's important for us to be equipped to be able to go out and to confidently talk about the differences between the two. Now, this way of teaching may be foreign to some of you as we intentionally slow down and dive into it. And some of you may be like, I do this all the time. This is nothing new for me. But if this is kind of foreign to you, if this way of slowly diving into Scripture is something you're not used to, hang on. Don't run away. Let the Holy Spirit work on you as we intentionally slow down and dive into it. Because if we are going to know Jesus, we are not going to know Jesus by cherry-picking verses and statements out of the gospel and make them fit into a bubble that we want to fit them into. If we are going to know Jesus, we are going to have to slow down and know Jesus. And one specific way that we're going to do that this year is by studying the Gospel of Luke. So the title of this sermon is, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? So that's going to be the title of this long journey through the Gospel of Luke. With the help from the Chosen series, which, by the way, if you are not aware, season 3 is already out. The first 3 episodes are absolutely amazing. The 4th episode comes out tonight. Miss Carmen has already said it is absolutely amazing. Hyperbole, exclamation point. So, if you are not engaged in the Chosen series, please do so. Please start investing your time and your energy in knowing Jesus. If you don't like all the moves that they make as far as telling the story, okay, that's fine. But at least you are investing in something that's helping you get back into the Bible. Which, by the way, Dallas Jenkins has said is the absolute 100% purpose of him putting The Chosen together. It's to get followers of Jesus back into their Bibles. So please dive into that, invest in that. Also with the Bible Project guys as well. If you're not a podcast listening to, if you don't like subscribe to their YouTube channel, you're not necessarily being kept up to date with all that they're doing. But the Bible Project guys are doing so much for the church universal. As far as everything is free, they have literally classes that are equivalent to seminar classes that are 100% free online. On their website, it's simply called Classroom. And if you go to their website, BibleProject.com, and you click on Classroom, you have this world opened up to you. Free seminary. It took me a long time to pay off all of my seminary loans. And it's 100% free right there online. And it's engaging and it's well worth it. So this is just a plea. If we're going to get to know Jesus, we're going to have to invest our time and our energy into seeking after Jesus. And there is so much available to us today that is free. That is free. All you have to do is set aside your energy and your time, and it is right there for you. So, will the real Jesus please stand up? Today we're going to ask and somewhat answer 2 separate questions. The first one is, what is a gospel? So if you're going to ask kind of the question, if you're going to study the gospel is one of the first questions that many of us at least need to wrestle with is what exactly is a gospel and what does gospel mean? Many of us who grew up in church, this question should be pretty easy to answer, right? Right? And maybe for some of us, not so much. We are in an age and an era within the Christian church here in America where answering what is a gospel and what does gospel mean can at times be very clumsy. At times it can be somewhat confusing as we're trying to communicate to ourselves or maybe a loved one or maybe a coworker or maybe somebody random at the gym or wherever you frequent. And they figure out you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, and then you begin to describe to them what it means and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And then you start talking about the story of Jesus, and then you start using words like gospel. And then you begin to kind of somewhat fumbly get your way through defining and explaining what is a gospel and what does gospel mean. But inside biblical sources and outside biblical sources, historical sources that are outside of the Bible provide evidence that the gospel, this Greek word euangelion, which we'll see on the screen, it's kind of fun. I need one Greek word today. So euangelion, gospel means good news. It means good news. It means there's something that's worth telling. This is good news. This is worth sharing. This is worth proclaiming. This is worth standing up from the highest peak and shouting aloud. This has happened. Everyone needs to know about this good news. So, euangelion, in its historical context, was connected to politics, unfortunately. Within the Greco-Roman world, when a new Caesar would be crowned, or when a new emperor would be led into power, into authority, they would say, euangelion, so-and-so is now Caesar. This is good news. Rejoice with me. We have a new ruler. We have a new Caesar. It was directly connected to politics. And that may annoy some of us because some of us are so over and beyond done with the political world. But you cannot separate, and this is important for us, and it's hard for us to get this at times. We cannot separate the Gospels that are in our New Testaments from politics. They are political books, unfortunately. When we think about that, they are a political stand against everything else outside of the world. There is a different form of good news that's out there. There is a different form of euangelion that is being proclaimed in this world. And Mark starts out his story with it. So when we pay attention to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, and the passage begins, the beginning of this euangelion, the beginning of this good news, not about a new political leader, not about a new Caesar or a new emperor or a new ruler. This beginning of the euangelion is about Jesus the Messiah. So we stop and we pause and we let that kind of soak into us. The beginning of the good news is not about something else. It is about Jesus. And to know Jesus is to connect good news, to connect gospel to and with Jesus. And later on in the same chapter, in verses 14 and 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming this euangelion, this good news about a new type of kingdom that really wasn't so new at all. Instead of the rule and reign of Rome, instead of the rule and reign of Caesar, this good news is about the rule and reign of God. So to know Jesus is to know what the rule and reign of God is all about. Because Jesus went about proclaiming this new politic that was at work in the world, that is different from everything else that they knew. Something powerful had jumped on the scene. And it is the kingdom of God that has good news about it. So, Jesus is the embodiment of this good news. And Jesus is the proclamation of this good news, of this euangeleion. And the argument from the Second Testament is that Jesus' story is good news. His story is good news. And he went about proclaiming this good news that is directly connected to the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. And we cannot separate the gospel from the rule and reign of God. I don't know if that sounds dry to you. Maybe we're so used to hearing kingdom of God. Maybe we're so used to hearing gospel, to hearing good news. I think maybe we need to begin praying that God would enliven our hearts and enliven our spirits to set us on fire once again for this good news that is better than any other sort of news that is out there, right? I think I can get an amen on there. There's no other news better than the good news that's connected to Jesus, right? Or is there some other form of good news that's better? I don't think there is. There's nothing else better in this life than the good news that is connected to Jesus. And it is connected to the rule and reign of God. I think we need to start praying that God would awaken our hearts, awaken our souls to this good news. I think many of us have fallen asleep to it. Many of us have given our time and our attention over to so many other things that we've lost the passion. We've lost the love. It has simmered. It has grown cold. And I hope that this journey through the Gospel of Luke will lead us to an awakening within our hearts to love this word, to love this story, to love who this story is all about, to know Jesus and to then begin to proclaim him out. So, directly connected to the rule and reign of God. And our Second Testament writers did not make up gospel. They didn't just make up this word and then force feed it into the story of Jesus. Mark directs that the origins of gospel are found in Mark 1, but they're also connected to the First Testament. They are connected to Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10, which will be on the screen. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring euangeleion, who bring good news. And a part of this bringing good news involves proclaiming peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. When you read that statement, you insert kingdom of God. Because in order for there to be a kingdom, you must have a king. And in order if there is a king, there must be someone reigning. Your God reigns. Kingdom of God. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations. It's poetic language of saying the Lord's going to show up. The Lord is going to lay bare his arm. The Lord is going to show up, and there will be no doubt about it when this happens. And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Mark 1 begins by pointing back to Isaiah 52 of where this gospel, where this good news begins. So the word gospel took off as a church spread throughout the Roman Empire, and its meaning connected to Jesus and its proclamation connected to the rule and reign of God led Paul, for instance, to use this meaning-packed word 66 times. And 21 of those 66 times, it's a verb. And for all of our grammar nerds in the house, and there are many of you in here, in order for a verb to be a verb, it must have what? It must have action. So almost one-third of the time that Paul uses the word gospel in his letters, it's involved with doing something. It's involved with proclaiming this with word and with deed. So this term good news is not just a philosophy about a person. Gospel is not a philosophy just about Jesus. Nor is it an idea about another political force in the world. This term does something. This word inspires. This word convicts. This word drives us to go and be and do. It moves the hearer to respond to what has been heard. So the answer to the second question. So what is or what are the Gospels? We've defined what does the word gospel mean. It means good news. And there are lots of different directions. There's lots of different ways in which we can hear, in which we can interpret good news. Good news for us as individuals. Good news for us as the entire country. Good news for us as a world, but also connected to politics as well, because this is a different form of politic within the Second Testament about Jesus. He is a totally different type of king who proclaims a different type of kingdom compared to the kings and the kingdoms of his world then and our world now. So, what are the Gospels? Gospels, we have four in our Second Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are theological biographies of Jesus that focus on his announcement of the rule and reign of God. They're theological biographies. His life, his teachings, his impact, his mock trial, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And these Gospels are based on the eyewitness testimony given by his earliest followers at that time. These accounts are not just simply historical records. They are to advance a claim that will challenge the readers, challenge us in our thinking, in our behavior, in our overall life. So with that, these Gospels have two main goals. And the first one is to faithfully represent the story of Jesus. That is what these Gospels are about. To faithfully represent the story of Jesus. It's why we're asking, will the real Jesus please stand up? Dr. Luke, tell us who Jesus is. And the second one is this. To persuade the hearer, the reader, to respond. To faithfully tell the story of Jesus accurately and correctly. And to persuade us to respond in some way, shape, form, or fashion. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. We don't really know if he actually said that or not. But the quote's given to Lewis. Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And here is an excellent quote from Jonathan Pennington. The four Gospels are theological, they are historical, and they are formational. They're historical, They are theological and they are formational narrative biographies that retell the story and proclaim the significance of Jesus as Israel's Messiah and the Lord of all nations. The one who through the power of the Spirit is restoring God's reign over all creation. I love that quote. It sums up the Gospels in a unique and a very powerful way. So as we draw this initial kind of intro to the Gospel teaching to a close, there are three skills for reading the Gospels that I hope you all use, I hope you pay attention to. I hope you kind of put these into practice if you're not already doing so. The first one, as we journey through the Gospel of Luke, is to pay attention to repeated words, to pay attention to repeated ideas, because they're going to come up. They're going to happen over and over again. And if a biblical author goes out of their way to repeat something, that's a pretty good clue that we need to be paying attention to it. The author is trying to communicate something to us that's meaningful, that's meant to form us, that's meant to shape us in some way. And the second one is, pay attention to how the characters in the story respond to Jesus. It has been extremely powerful for me over the years to pay attention to the ways in which the gospel writers show how people respond to Jesus. And it's not all hugs and kisses, rainbows, and throwing parties. You will be amazed when you get into the Gospels and when you read them from beginning until end, how many people run away from Jesus because they're scared of him. You're like, wait a second, how can that be? How could they be afraid of him? And none of the gospel writers sugarcoat it, or they try to make it a little bit easier to read or a little bit nicer to understand. No, they don't do that at all. They lay it all out there. And they say, how will you respond? If you were in this person's place, how would you have responded to Jesus? So pay attention to repeated words and repeated ideas, and pay attention to how characters respond. And the third, read, reread, and reread some more. Some of the most wisest followers of Jesus that I've ever known, they have never once thought they had it all summed up. They never once thought that they didn't need to spend time in the Word of God, knowing Jesus and knowing Him deeper. And I'm amazed over the years when I hear people who have been following Jesus and have been in the Word of God for decades, they say things like, I don't ever remember reading that before. That's something I don't ever remember. And it's amazing to me. It shows humility, but it also shows their love for wanting to know Jesus deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So we pay attention to repeated words. We pay attention to repeated ideas. We pay attention to how characters in the story respond, because it's important for us to place ourselves in their place and ask ourselves the question, how would we respond? And then after we do that, we go back it again and we read and we reread and we reread some more. So each week, as we journey through the Gospel of Luke, as we pay attention to how the Bible presents a new politic, kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, and we compare that to all the other ways in which kingdoms and powers were then and how they still are today, we're going to have a couple of different things that are going to be in the bulletin each and every single week. There's going to be a follow-up question. There's going to be a reflective question. And Keeley posted them in the bulletin today. It's in the sermon notes section. And these are just opportunities for you to kind of go deeper. So the reflective question is kind of a head and a heart type of question from the particular Sunday teaching. And there will be a reflective practice that will be offered for us all to kind of participate in as we go throughout our week. So we have our head and heart, we have a reflective question, and then we have a reflective practice hands and feet. Go and try. Go and experiment. Go and do. Interrupt your schedule and your routine. Try this new thing out. It's the beginning of a new year, right? We all have different things that we want to try out this year. Take some of these on and take them seriously and see what God will do with them. And this final slide that I want to put up. There are so many resources out there for us to go and invest in and try and grow in our faith. We spend a lot of time kind of promoting The Chosen, so it's already out there. One of my favorite Bible reading apps is the Dwell app. You can get it on any type of device. You can get it. You can download it. There is a monthly fee. You do have to invest in it financially. About $5.99 a month. It's worth every penny, in my opinion. But it's an excellent Bible reading app. A free one that Kathy Knobloch introduced me to a few years ago is called Lectio 365. And it's a free kind of reflective, meditative app that draws you into different prayers. It draws you into the Word of God. It is an excellent resource that is free. The Bible Project. On our website, and it's fired up, ready to go right now, on our website, at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see that image. You'll see it. If you click on it, it will take you to the Bible Project video that is linked to Intro to the Gospels. So it's an Intro to the Gospel video right there, ready to go. Throughout the year, we're going to be posting more and more of those videos, and we'll be communicating them to you, trying to help encourage you, navigate you to ways in which you can know the Lord Jesus deeper and better. Halo is a favorite app of mine that I use almost on an everyday basis. It is a meditative and it is a prayer app. It is connected to the Catholic Church, so I'll go ahead and kind of throw that out there. You can pick and choose what you want to do on there. They don't force you to pray the rosary, for so to speak. But there are some excellent prayer resources available on that app. I know Dave Densmore loves the Bible app YouVersion, right? It's free, right? 100% free. YouVersion Bible app. Some of you may use them. Again, tons of resources, and many of you may have resources that you already use as well. So as we kick off 2023, let's dive into knowing Jesus deeper and better as individuals, as family units, and as a church body. Let's dedicate 2023 to knowing the Lord Jesus and making Him known. Amen, church. Arise, team. You guys can come on up. The transition to respond this week is not so easy a transition into an invitation song. But if there is anyone here this morning that would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters here, during this final song is an excellent opportunity to come forward. I'll listen to you. One of our shepherds can listen to you, and we can pray for you at the end of the song. If you would like to speak with one of our shepherds in our prayer room in a more private and a more kind of intimate place, our prayer room is open and ready to receive anyone who would like to respond. But let's stand together and we will pray, and then we will have our final song. God, again, for the gift of another day of life. And Father, my prayer for myself and for this church family is that we would dedicate each and every single breath and day that we are given, knowing Jesus deeper and better. I ask God that you would bless these Sunday mornings in 2023 as we purposefully sink our feet into wanting to know Jesus better. And God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us and direct us, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, for we desire to know Him better. I ask God that you would bless these efforts, your glory and for our good. Through Christ we pray. Amen. However, any